With me today, my guest, Charles Goldman, back for round two.
Yeah, how's it going, Ed?
Good. Have you been
two
eating
weeks
any,
in a row, huh?
You been eating any kangaroo meat?
Not that I know of.
No.
But yeah. Then again, you know, I don't buy unlabeled. I don't buy ground beef, period. But nevertheless, I wouldn't buy one that's not labeled. That's where
I see
it's coming
from. I see a movie, your Soylent beef is made from kangaroo.
Oh, it's Soylent Green is people.
Right. Soylent you know, beef.
That actually is a very classic movie,
thank
Charlton
you.
Heston, but and it's very primitive, but it is kind of scary, very dark. I mean,
wait,
it's like in black and white.
Isn't the year 2024?
I don't remember.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. I think the year has already passed. So who knows what we're eating, Charles?
I mean, it's really weird because it's like one of those science fiction movies that's supposed to be the future, but it just looks like L.A., you know, at the time.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Yeah.
No, there are futuristic movies out there that don't make any sense. No, I mean that's one of them, I think. But there are futuristic movies.
Well, no, I mean, why do you think Soylent Green doesn't make any sense?
You think we're going to start eating each other?
Well, it's kind of a wasted resource. You know, I mean, the whole premise of giving you a, you know, kind of talk you into dying, old people dying, and it helps to balance the books and, you know, reduce the deficit.
But
do they
wait till they're old? I thought they didn't. How old?
Well, the point is,
if you get too old, you get too tough. You know, you want to kind of harvest those younger people.
No, it's mostly older people, but you know, they try to induce you into this. Or it's some sort of arena. It looked kind of like
you know.
The igloo
this is another movie I've
play.
Never seen. I've just seen the trailer.
You should definitely watch it. You should definitely watch
okay,
it.
I'll watch it on a full stomach.
All right.
So there's no segue to where we're going next. We're talking about the First Amendment.
Right. This conversation is apropos. Maybe it was about a month ago we were discussing, or sort of had a protean discussion about separation of church and state.
Right.
And you felt that maybe it was worth revisiting.
Silly me.
You might regret this, yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, the First Amendment seems pretty clear to most people I know.
Okay. And in fact, let's start with that.
All right.
Okay. Let's first of all, let's read the First Amendment.
All right, class.
Because remember, we have a Supreme Court, which is originalist, which is it's only about what the Founding Fathers had to say. It's by the fact that a legal will quote, like, you know, jurisprudence from the year 10,000 or 1,000, right? Which, by the way, people... The United States didn't exist in the year 1000, you know.
But it was in God's mind.
Right? No, it, you know, it's just they go back to British common law, which is supposed to be the genesis of our law. In many ways, it was.
You digress.
Right. So the First Amendment. Well, first of all, I think we should say you'll notice that the First Amendment is not the one that talks about guns, right? So
right.
The Founding Fathers obviously felt that this is the First Amendment, and this is the most important one.
It's
they started
like with
it.
Like the Ten Commandments. The most important one is the first one.
Right, which is you won't love a God other than me.
Yeah,
not like what you're supposed to do
morally. I would be really, really ticked off if you did.
Exactly. Okay, so the First Amendment, the most important amendment, obviously, and the first thing it says and talks about is Congress shall make no law representing an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof.
Respecting no establishment, right?
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. So the first thing you should notice about that is you notice who makes these laws? The Congress.
Yeah.
Not executive orders.
Right.
Right? The president doesn't make law. Right? So we shouldn't be having any president making executive orders that relate to
and all presidents
and
have
how it's practiced.
Well, no, yeah. All presidents have used executive orders.
Yes,
Obama did a lot. Biden did. Trump
Nobody
really
has done anything close to Trump.
No, I know that's true.
So, first of all, Congress is supposed to be making the law.
Right.
We of course live in a time which Congress makes no laws
because
for the most part,
no,
unless they're for giving people tax breaks.
Because they have no backbone.
Right.
It's removed upon entry into the U.S. Capitol.
Absolutely. Okay, so. What is not clear about this? Because, you know, if you read the MAGA Christian nationalist inspired screeds on this, they'll tell you that there's nothing in the Constitution about separation of church and state. What does this say? It says, number one, the fear of the founders, mainly Jefferson and Madison, who are really the fountainheads of the Bill of Rights,
mm-hmm.
the overriding fear, and we'll talk about some of the quotes that, you know, both of them attributed to them. The fear was the establishment of a state religion.
Yeah.
Right? So this whole notion that the United States is a Christian nation is wrong.
It's contrary. It's not just wrong. It's contrary to the intent of the founding fathers.
Right. They, you know, the people who espouse this, including, you know, people like J.D. Vance, who's now what, this is his third religion? His Catholicism is his third version of religion?
Sometimes it takes a little trial and error.
No. Okay. So the people who came over to the United States early on to the colonies, a lot of them weren't Christians, at least not traditional Protestants or Catholics. They came from many sects of Christianity.
Anabaptists, Quakers.
Quakers.
Sure.
The Jews came over. There were people who were Islamic. There were people, you know, at this point, the United States has about 2,000 identified sects of religion. Okay, wasn't 2,000 at the very beginning. But the point is that the Mayflower wasn't made up of a bunch of Christian nationalists. They weren't made up of a bunch of evangelical Christians, right?
They were all the same religion on that particular boat.
But the thing was that, interestingly, one of the critiques of Jefferson is that why would the Quakers have come over here to escape the persecution of European, usually, you know, states, you know, to only come over here to come to colonies where a lot of them had established religions that were, in fact, intercalated with the civic government, you know?
Well, they came over here to found Pennsylvania and Quaker State Oil.
No, but the point is that it's true. I mean, this is, you could look at the tradition of many of the colonies and say, well, yeah, this is a Christian nation, because when they came over here, they set up basically dictatorships of one sect of religion in a number of the colonies, including places like Rhode Island, Massachusetts.
What was Rhode Island?
I'm not sure. Well, Rhode Island was, I think, Roger Williams, and that did have a state religion, but actually Roger Williams was one of the earliest of the governors of a colony to invoke a form of religion, of religious freedom, because in fact one of the earliest synagogues in the United States is in Rhode Island.
So, but you're saying the Constitution,
was written against the background of what had been,
and as a way to put the brakes on that, to maybe undo it in some cases.
That's correct.
Yeah,
yeah. And
why those devious little founding fathers?
But the point is that although it's true that these two statements, free exercise and, you know, not establishing a state religion, they leave something to be desired. Because as we've seen with the multiple cases through the years that have gone to the courts and often to the Supreme Court, if the doctrine of religion somehow does not accord with what's allowed in the secular law, how do you, you know, rationalize that conflict? It's very easy to say this, but it was pretty clear when you read the statements, you know, you read the Federalist Papers, that what Jefferson and Madison were doing was that they thought the two most important things were leave people alone to practice however they wanted. There was no society that was hurt by the free exercise of religion and disparate views on God.
Right.
And the second, what they saw, particularly Madison hated the established religions of Europe, in particular, the Vatican and the UK, Church of England, and Catholicism, because he viewed them as an eternal source of strife throughout the history of Europe. He didn't look kindly on the Crusades as an enterprise.
It's hard to do that. I know there are, quote, Christians who...
Ask Pete Hegseth. He wrote a book on that.
How wonderful the Crusades were?
He basically is, yes, absolutely. That's why he has those tattoos. That's what he believes that, you know, a true warrior is a warrior for Christ. You know, but all of Pete Hegseth...
Except if it's a woman, if it's believe, Joan of Arc, burner at the stake.
Well, I don't know about... I don't know about burner at the stake, but at least if she's on a promotion list, take her off. You know, all about someone like Hegseth is pretty obvious, because if anybody had looked in his books, everything that he talks about now, he was talking about already. Mm. And he and Mrs. Hegseth, who has an untoward amount of influence with him and within the Department of Defense, not the Department of War, I will not call it the Department of War, you know, they are part of a sect of apostolic Christianity, which believes that there should only be one vote per household in the United States, and that vote should be determined by the head of the household, who, of course, is a male.
Gee, what could go wrong there?
Right. But so anyway, to me, although, yes, how it's been implemented has to go, in some sense, case by case, but the thrust of the First Amendment, more important even than the fact you should own guns, is that there should be no state religion and leave people alone.
But it's also about the right to say what you want.
Well, that's freedom of speech.
Right. It's important to remember, too, that it speaks to that as well as separation of church and state.
But the point is, the way the First Amendment is structured is that they separated those rights as important to be separated, because there's something specific about religion and freedom of speech which requires them to be adjudicated, you know, independent of each other. So here are some of the things. I mean, you asked for, like, you know, some of the quotes. So Jefferson, referring to the Virginia Act for Establishing Religious Freedom: "Our civil rights have no dependence on our religious opinions. Therefore, prescribing any citizen as unworthy to public confidence by laying upon him an incapacity of being called to the office of trusts, unless he profess or renounce this or that religious opinion, is depriving him injuriously of these privileges and advantages to which is common to his fellow citizens." So this relates to the fact that the only other reference to religion in the Constitution, other than the First Amendment, is Article 6, which says that you cannot have a religious test, for that you can serve in public office.
Right.
That is the only... Now, let's also say an important thing here. In spite of whatever version you may have in the Christian madrasa you may be going to...
The what?
You know, the
did you throw a Jewish term into...
No, madrasas are Islamic.
Oh, Islamic, right.
Islamic, you know, schools.
Right, sure.
There's no mention of Jesus in either the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution. There's no mention of Christianity in either document. When they do mention it in the Declaration of Independence, it is the Creator. It is a very inclusive term. The other thing is, when Jefferson spent most of the last years of his life putting together the life and morals of Jesus of Nazareth. And what he did was, he went through various translations of the Bible, of the New Testament, in the original language, right? Not just in English. I know a lot of people, you know, they go to...
I thought King James was the original language.
You know, a lot of the people who are religious leaders are not exactly religious scholars and couldn't read these documents in the original language, but he did. And what he did was, he basically cut and pasted together a Bible which eliminated anything superstitious, miraculous, or unorthodox. He basically saw that Jesus was, he didn't go with Jesus' divinity, his resurrection, or the miracle, or most of the miracles. He simply saw Jesus as a moral teacher and reformer. And that was the book he put together.
That takes some of the fun out of it.
I know. He also specifically talks about the separation of church and state in a letter he sent to the Danbury Baptist on January 1st, 1802. And then Madison, who really hated, you know, again, as we said, European versions of
because he saw the oppression that came along with it, the political oppression.
Well, this is what he said in his later life, Madison: "In the papal system, government and religion are in a manner consolidated, and that is found to be the worst of all governments. In most of the governments of the old world, the legal establishment of a particular religion, and with or with very little toleration of others, makes a part of the political and civil organization, and there are few of the most enlightened judges who will maintain that those systems have been favorable to either religion or to government." Hmm. So it's a lie. It's a lie. Whether the Supreme Court says it is or not, it's a lie. The First Amendment is about separation of church and state. Yeah.
It's it's pretty clear. It's pretty clear.
I think so the language is pretty clear. The establishment clause is pretty clear.
Astounding to me that they can make these arguments that basically undergird their support for a Christian nation. You know, it's so contrary to the obvious intent and the obvious wording even.
Yeah, and you know, I think they need to deal with the fact that Christianity certainly informed the moral fabric of the United States,
right.
But it wasn't the only influence.
Right.
And the blood and earth types like J.D. Vance, sorry, the Mayflower brought people here who weren't just Christian. Maybe the Mayflower didn't. But certainly all the other early colonists were a mix of a lot of religious beliefs, or none.
Yeah.
There may have been atheists among them, for all we know.